Those four Dhamma summaries that we chant so often. The first three about how the world is basically not going to provide what we want. We want something solid to hold on to, some protection, something we can lay claim to as our own. And it keeps denying this. The world is swept away, it does not endure. What does the world have to offer? Gain, but then loss. Status, loss of status. Praise, criticism, pleasure, and pain. It gives, but then it takes back. As John Lee says, the parts of the world that are true are not, they're not good. What's good's not true. If you want to find something that's enduring, you have to build it inside. This is why we're fortunate that we have the Dhamma, because it can provide the things that the world is lacking in. We're trying to find qualities in the mind that have a lasting value. They start with the qualities of the path, virtue, concentration, discernment. And even before that, with the basis of merit, generosity, virtue, developing goodwill. Even though these things are not permanent, they can take you to some place that does not get swept away. And in the meantime, they provide you with a certain amount of stability. Stability that the world that's outside cannot provide. Not only the world outside, your own body. Your body is swept away. Think of the story in the canon that goes with that particular summary. King Gauravya, who's 80 years old, says that when he was young, he thought he had supernormal strength. But now that he's 80, he means to put his foot one place and it goes someplace else. So, and that's what the world has to offer. You have to create something inside that does not get swept away and something that does endure. That's the only way to be able to find any happiness. The same with the second summary. World offers no shelter, there's no one in charge. You have to provide your shelter, you have to put mindfulness in charge. Mindfulness is what remembers that the goodness in life comes from the good qualities you develop in the mind. So if there are good qualities that are not there yet, you try to develop them. If they are there, you try to maintain them. That's your shelter, that's your refuge. The world has nothing of its own. One has to pass on, leaving everything behind. We don't leave everything behind. As the Buddha points out, you take your karma. So you're going to take good things with you. And John Suwan used to comment on how the Buddha would talk about how the aggregates are not self, the sense media are not self, not self, not self. But then he turned around and say, we're the owners of our actions. In Thai, it's basically that we are the doers of our actions and the owners at the same time. Our actions are ours. So again, you develop the qualities of mind. They give you good actions that you can depend on. Here too, mindfulness has to play a role. Mindfulness to keep things in mind. Alertness to watch what you're actually doing. And then ardency, the wholehearted desire to do this well. And you really do have to put your whole heart into this. Because the world will lure you away. Say, try this, try this, try this. Here's a shortcut. And it will fill your mind with all kinds of information that's totally useless as far as your well-being is concerned. Which is why you have to be very selective on what you take in. Ajahn Lee's image for sense restraint is a house with windows and doors that you can open and close. Basically, what you take in is important in the sense of what's going to come out as a result. Because what comes out of the house, your actions, your thoughts, your words, your deeds, those are your possessions. So you want to make sure that when you bring things in, you're going to bring things in that will help encourage you to develop good possessions, good things you're going to hold on to. Anything that's not relevant to that, you just let it go. Because there is that fourth Dharma summary. And even though it says the world is insufficient, insatiable, a slave to craving, it's not so much the world. All the people in the world are slaves to craving. The question is, are you a slave to craving? It's one of the big ironies of that passage. Venerable Ratchabal is going over these points with the king. The king has to reflect on the fact that he is old, can't depend on his body anymore. He's not protected from illness. Even though he's king, when he gets sick, he can't command that his courtiers take part of his illness so he doesn't have to feel all the pain. No matter how much treasure he gets, he's going to have to leave it behind. Then Ratchabala asks him, if you were told that there was a kingdom to the east that you could conquer, it's got lots of wealth, all kinds of things that you'd want, but its army is weak, you could conquer it. Would you go for it? And the king says, yes, of course. How about a kingdom from the south, another from the west, one from the north? Yes, of course, of course, of course. This is just, you know, a minute or two after having reflected that he can't keep anything. How about something on the other side of the ocean, a kingdom on the other side of the ocean? Would you go for that too? Sure. That's the problem in the mind. When we do some of the reflections to develop a sense of heedfulness, when we do the five reflections, it ends with a reflection on karma. Here it ends with a reflection on craving. That no matter how insufficient the world is, we keep wanting to come back. That's what the problem is. That's where we've got to look. As long as you're a slave to craving, you're a slave to whatever and wherever the craving may go. Maybe you want some measure of independence. You have to think about developing something inside that does not get swept away, that does offer shelter, and that you can lay claim to as your own. What you have that's your own is the realm of your awareness, the body as you feel it from within, the mind as you experience it from within. That's yours. So you want to develop that. When that's developed, then you're less likely to want to go craving after the world. And you have something of solid value. So even though the world is swept away, you're not swept away. It offers no shelter, but you can create shelter for yourself. It has nothing of its own. But you have your own actions, you have your own qualities of mind. And even though it's a slave to craving, you have to remind yourself the mind doesn't need to be a slave. It's taken on this slavery voluntarily because it doesn't know any better. But the Buddha offers this alternative. Ajahn Lee talks in these terms many times. He always contrasts the world with the Dharma. What the Dharma offers is true and good. As for the world, the good things are not true, the true things are not good. If we didn't have the Dharma, the world would be a miserable place. But the fact that we have the Dharma is a way out. That's why there's some hope. the more we appreciate the Dharma, the happier we'll be.